Jackie McMullen, Israel Gutierrez, the NBA's dilemma. Start the season right now, right where you left off, or go straight to the playoffs. We're going to start with that dilemma and Damian Lillard's thoughts to Yahoo. If we come back and they're just like we're adding a few games to finish the regular season, throwing us out there for meaningless games, and we don't have a true opportunity to get into the playoffs, I'm going to be with my team because I'm part of the team, but I'm not going to be participating. That's a quote from Damian Lillard. Israel Gutierrez, around the horn to you. How do you hear him there? And do you think the league will have a problem with players not playing?
Well, I totally understand this way of thinking, right? Because going into this process, my one concern was of the teams who have basically nothing to play for, are they going to force them to be sort of practice bodies for these playoff-ready teams? And, you know, as soon as they get eliminated, they get out the door. And in this scenario, I'm with Damian Lillard. Why would I want to do that? Not only, and this has nothing to do with COVID concerns. This just has to do with injury concerns when you're really, they're what, 3.5 games back. You're really not giving me a chance to fight back for that. So unless they go straight to the playoffs, unless they go to a group stage situation, which has been thrown out there where indeed all of these teams do have a legitimate chance to get into these playoffs, then Damian is just being used as a traffic cone, essentially, for these other teams to get ready for the playoffs and to have to go through everything they have to go through just to be that. I wouldn't be a fan of that either.
Jackie McMullen, how do you hear Damian Lillard?
Well, Izzy, he may be a traffic cone, but he's going to be a very, very well-compensated traffic cone. And I think we need to keep that in mind, don't you? These guys are paid to play basketball. I'm a little surprised to hear this from Dame. Now, what we don't know, is it inherent that his concerns are also with regards to COVID-19 and the risk that anyone would take if they take the basketball court in any scenario, because there is going to be a very real threat there. Everybody acknowledges that. We know that. I do find it interesting, though, the idea of not playing at all. I've talked to a bunch of guys who are in this same kind of idea as Lillard that may or may not be in the playoffs, and they all seem itching to get back. So my question is this. Is he using this as leverage to push the league for the play-in game? By the way, we're all excited about the play-in games, you know, play into the tournament. But is that really fair to the Lakers and the Bucks and some of the other teams that were just croaking the regular season? I don't really think it is.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to find anything that's fair to everybody, though? That's the question. Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in here on Damian Lillard saying, maybe I won't play if it's just, you know, we're a traffic cone, to borrow Israel's description.
Yeah, a couple things. To what Izzy said, it makes sense on its face, but not only well compensated to be a cone, but compensated next year. And that's the big thing about basketball, is getting back to this championship is in service to the entire league, even those that are already eliminated, because of the way it affects revenue and luxury tax and everything in the upcoming seasons. That being said, I think Jackie's point is a valid one, too. If you go based solely off what he said, he gives a lot more detail about why fans should be invested in seeing a Lakers-Blazers series than he does in the potential risks of coming back because of COVID-19. That's not to say that one is prioritized over the other, but for me, my gut instinct was to fill in all the blanks of what he didn't say about this health and safety and the possible ramifications going forward for an entire career for a guy who would be coming in to be a traffic cone, as Izzy said. But he didn't actually say any of that. So maybe I'm assuming he's thinking that, when in fact what he's really saying is, I don't want to play unless I got something to play for.
Mm-hmm. Israel, can I bring you back in on Jackie's point that maybe Damian is referring to the format here and he's trying to put his chips in one side right now?
That's fine. I actually believe that that is genuinely what he believes, that if he has a legitimate shot and if they go through this format and that's his best chance of making the playoffs, then yes, he would take the risk. But Jackie and Sarah, yes, he's highly paid, but I don't think there's anybody that benefits necessarily. Do the fans benefit from, what, 3 or 4 more games of Damian Lillard? Does the league benefit by putting him at risk of injury when there is no outcome that's to his benefit? So I totally agree with him here. Give me a legitimate chance to make the playoffs or take away these teams that have no chance. You're making it easier on yourselves anyway.
Jackie, what's the latest you're hearing now? Is the league leaning more towards starting the season in the playoffs or trying to play a final 10 games or so to get those last spots settled?
Anyone that tells you definitively which way the NBA is leaning is not telling you the truth, Tony. Everything is still on the table.
But
no, I mean that, Jim.
Everything's on the table. At some point, you got to sit down and order the meal, right? I mean, and eat the meal.
It feels to me like, why would you have all 30 teams involved? Because your risk goes up exponentially. That's all what we keep talking about is safety.
Sarah, I know you have a because. Let me hear it.
Yeah, because the TV regional deals are based on 70 games at minimum, and there is this number that they're trying to hit in order to achieve a monetary gain that does benefit the entire league, even if it feels meaningless in relation to either finish the full season or just do playoffs. That number they're trying to hit is for money reasons.
I can tell you that that number, that's been overplayed. I've been told a whole bunch of times since we've all been saying that, that that is not in the league's thinking. That is way, way down the list.
Wow, so you played and then you overplayed yourself, Zarin Spain. We'll move on. I'm not sure if you saw this documentary on Michael Jordan that came out a few weeks ago. I'm not sure. It came around a little bit. But I want to get to something here, Jackie Mack, and this is very near and dear to your heart, as well as Sarah's, as well as Israel's. Audio has been found. Michael Jordan heard saying to Rod Thorne with USA Basketball, he won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the Dream Team. This was an old interview recently aired on Jack McCallum's Dream Team Tapes podcast, but we have audio. All the cards are on the table. Don't play or overplay yourself here, Jackie. Just tell me what actually happened.
I think Michael Jordan didn't want Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team. That was true 20-some-odd years ago. It's true now. I'm not sure why there needed to be spin placed on this for The Last Dance. The one thing I love about Michael Jordan is he usually tells it how he is and how he feels. So why he's trying to couch this feeling regarding Isaiah Thomas, I'm not sure. Now, the one thing I will say, it wasn't just Michael Jordan. You can't put it all on him. There were other people that did not want Isaiah Thomas to play. There were also some people on the committee that did want him.
Okay. I think we can make an assumption maybe Chuck Daly, who was the coach of that team, maybe wanted
Jack
his
McCloskey,
guy. Maybe not. Maybe I'm making
him. Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. But what percentage of the team then? Can you give us a number on that? I know Wilbon at one point said 9 of 12, and then
he
said that
high.
Wasn't actually the case.
I think
that's
high.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Israel, do you still have any urge to talk about this? Please, go ahead.
I don't know if I saw the entire Jordan doc. I did see about a 9-hour tequila commercial. Look, this to me, I think it was obvious going into it, right? We saw a lot of what it was that Michael Jordan's sort of power in this documentary and what was able to be released. And I think we all knew without, like, having the moment where he actually said it, that he has said something like this in the past. But my thing is what's the big deal? Like, I understand Isaiah Thomas is hurt, but outside of Detroit, outside of his biggest fans, Isaiah Thomas, who's still clamoring about this? Who's still discussing this? Oh, man, we really missed out on Isaiah Thomas in 92. It's interesting because it's Michael, but, yeah, it's not that interesting anymore.
It matters, though. It absolutely matters who's on the Dream Team. All right, Sarah Spain, we'll bring you in now. Does it matter to you, though, the truth of this?
Well, I think it's frustrating. If he said before, and McCollum has the tape where he says, I was on the phone with Rod Thorne and I said, I'm not playing on the Dream Team if Isaiah's on the team, then why are you changing your story? And why isn't the documentary doing its best to represent those other voices? And the fact that he's, you know, saying the opposite of what he had said before, it seems unnecessary. To Jackie's point, even to Izzy's point, who cares? That, like, why decades later do we need to rewrite this? If you're willing to be open in so many ways that don't necessarily reflect well on you, why is this the one spot? Because later in the document, a couple minutes later, he says, listen, I respect Isaiah as a basketball player, no matter how much I hate him. Not past tense, present tense. Right. Like, he's letting us know how he feels. So why change the story now?
You know, this is The Walking Dead went on for years and years. Maybe it's still going on. I don't know. But then they had a Fear the Walking Dead as something to follow. We need a Fear the Last Dance because I'm afraid we're going to be talking about this for the rest of our lives. We're taking a break right here. Coming up, buy or sell. The Warriors might be thinking about trading. There might be number one pick. Would that mean they're light years ahead or behind?
Ooh.
NBA draft lottery was supposed to be May 19th, the draft June 25. No new date has been set. Some expect it to be in September, per Mark Stein. NBC Sports Bay Area is reporting the Warriors are open to trading their pick, which could be top 4, top 3, top 1. Jackie Mack, buy or sell?
Well, I sell that there's a possibility. If Bob Myers is doing his job by investigating what he can get for a pip, this is not one of those drafts where Zion Williamson is going to jump off the page. There are good players, but there isn't one clear number one. And your nucleus, they're getting into their prime there. Steph, you could even say, is maybe starting to get on the other side of his prime. So I could see trading for a veteran with that pick.
Whoa, you could say. You did say. You didn't could say. You did say, Steph's on the other. Okay. What was it? On the twilight of his career was a famous Boston phrase? Sarah Spain, how about you?
I know we're talking basketball, But I'm still worried for all of us if Steph is on the wrong side of anything. We're all in big trouble. As for the Warriors, yeah, this is a thing that would probably make sense for a team that still believes that with everyone healthy and back on the court, they can contend. And they want to contend now, not down the line. And so if they don't feel there's a player in the draft that can immediately contribute and make a difference, or at least be a big part of what will the future look like, then it makes sense to go out and get someone that contributes, and maybe down the road you can get a draft pick that actually
that future you're talking about. Next. Is that light years ahead of that future? It's in the light years ahead part of that. Israel Gutierrez, buy or sell trading the could be number one pick.
I find it funny how they get praised so much, the Warriors do, for picks number 60, right, all the time. But when they get number one, oh, I'm nervous. I don't know if I can make the right pick. I'm going to go ahead and trade this away.
No, more pressure.
They just happen to be in the same situation. A lot of these teams that feel like they have a core, a championship core, you don't want to build with young guys. You want to build with veterans. And everybody else knows it's not a great draft. I mean, the number one prospect, Anthony Edwards, I believe, is supposed to – so many question marks about him. So I do believe it's just the normal position for a team in their position.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards really hasn't done much since ER. We'll move on. Fire sell two. Cam Newton still unsigned. And some former teammates of his, Mike Tolbert, Roman Harper, think it's the Panthers' fault, both in the timing of when they cut him and also how they treated his injuries last season and last couple seasons. Buy or sell, Sarah Spain?
Well, their fault implies, you know, malice or intent, and I don't know if the timing was just terrible considering this unexpected pandemic. The injury, of course, is the reason that teams don't feel comfortable, but also, you know, he's a guy who's coming off a big salary and is a starter. Where does he feel like he fits in as a backup? If they don't know how healthy he is and they don't know if he wants that, that's tough. But I do think the way they handled his injuries of late has been suspect, and you have to go in really and ask Cam directly, how much did you want to play? How much did you tell them that you were okay playing? You know, there's a give and take there for sure.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, it's a lot of he said here, and it's hard to take a side necessarily without a bunch of facts, but the one thing that just jumps out to me is how it got to this point to begin with. I mean, how many organizations have this type of relationship with a quarterback who won an MVP, who took them to a Super Bowl, and has other teammates backing them up? It just makes you question the Carolina Panthers franchise just a little bit.
Jackie McMullen.
I think you're right, Izzy. If, you know, he was in fact the face of your franchise, he played great football for you until the injuries started piling on up. Don't you give this guy a conversation where you can say, hey, look, I think we're thinking of releasing you. We're going to try to do it so you get a chance to catch on with a good team and to be able to continue your career. I don't think anyone can say that that's what happened. Is it the unfortunate timing of COVID-19? I suppose. Still, if I'm
and
Cam Newton,
injuries,
I'm not happy.
His recovery from injuries, right. I mean, it's possible it's everybody's fault and nobody's fault, which
yeah,
is exactly
right.
The situation you find yourself in right now, Israel Gutierrez. Thanks for
the show. Don't like that.
Sarah Spain, Jackie McMullen, Showdown next coming up. Cheating in an esports charity event.
My goodness.
We've all seen Mike Tyson training. He looks better than he has in two decades. Turns 54 next month. So you can imagine maybe there's a fight coming. But do you believe this offer from Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship? $20 million.
Yes, I was trying to reach Galen.
Can I sign you up for that, Sarah Spain?
Galen?
I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised the bagel boss was getting like five-figure deals and all he did was yell at people. This guy's a world champion. But no, I think he should probably stay retired.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, Tony. This sounds like something someone made up last week. You know what? I'm telling you, Mike Tyson can fight anything he wants. This is just going to drive up the price. It's unbelievable the staying power he has. Incredible.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship sounds like something somebody invented 150 years ago. Not last week, Jackie.
And
this is the first sport, I think. I mean, this is literally the first sport. We'll give the point to Sarah Spain. We'll move on. Showdown 2. All right, this story is my favorite in the show. Cheating in an esports charity event. Formula E driver Daniel Abt suspended by Audi because he had a professional gamer play under his name. He got caught, but was it worth the try, Jackie Mac?
The fact that anyone would cheat in a charity event just leaves me almost speechless. He should be suspended for the whole year, and I hope they make him give a donation to every charity anyone thinks of.
Yeah. Somebody better check on this upcoming Peloton event with some of our guys, Booger, Mike Golick Jr. We're going to look down and see different legs pedaling below the surface.
Yeah. The video we just showed, there was a black screen. Was that him and he wasn't even on screen? Is that how far he went to just not even met? Or was he like going like this, but somebody else was doing it all? Sarah Spade, 30 seconds of FaceTime. It's all yours.
I just wanted to give a shout out to the West Coast bias that's happening for the upcoming ESPY Awards. Russell Wilson, Sue Bird, Megan Rapinoe tabbed to host the ESPYs from afar. Makes sense with Megan and Sue. They've been hosting their great Instagram live show, A Touch More. Russell Wilson always going to bring something good to the festivities. So creative props for them. And I love the idea of these two ladies hosting. They can crush anything that they do. It's going to be good.
Yep. The ESPYs. Virtual and from distance. We'll see how it works. We're on a 23-hour and 40-minute break. SportsCenter right now.